I just want to read and preach God's Word to you this morning. As Paul the Apostle instructed a young preacher named Timothy, he said, preach the Word, be instant, or that is, constant, in season, out of season, that is, whether it's popular or not, whether anyone else is doing it or not. You preach the Word. And in preaching the Word, he said, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. He said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine or teaching, the truth. He says after their own lust, evil desires or whatever, they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That is, they hire men and even women to tell them what they want to hear, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth of God's Word. But there's one way, one truth, and they'll turn unto fables, that is, man-made stories. I'm just reading and commenting on the book of Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, Paul writes and says, I say the truth in Christ. Christ was the one who called him and sent him. Paul says, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He's talking about his Jewish brethren. And he had a great heaviness or burden and sorrow for them, although they professed to be God's people. They were not. They knew not the truth. They rejected the truth that the Lord revealed to Paul and that Paul preached. And that's what he said about the religion that was around him, though it was in the name of God, but it was in name only and not reality, as it is today in my nation and my community. I look around me and there are people I know and like very much and call themselves Christian, and yet it's in name only. David one time said in Psalm 36, he said, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there's no fear of God before their eyes. He said, they flatter themselves. They flatter each other. And what he was talking about was not the wicked outwardly, immorally, but all around him, even in religion, who is a religion of flattery. And he said, there's no fear. What they do and say in the name of God shows that there's no fear of God, no reverence. Jeremiah said, and he was called the weeping prophet, they say to them that despise God, these false prophets say to those that hate God, hate the truth, unbelievers, they say, no evil shall befall you, peace, peace, when there is no peace. No, people, that's not the message to an unbelieving world, an ungodly world. We don't go around telling people that God loves you. God loves you. That's the message of false prophets. That's not the message of the Bible. God didn't say that. No prophet ever said that to the people. No apostle ever said that to the people. No preacher stands up before an unbelieving world and says God loves you and Jesus died for you. That's false. That's not the message of Scripture. God is angry with the wicked every day. God's going to destroy this world, a world full of people. God doesn't love everyone. God is angry with many. The message of the prophets and apostles and the Lord Jesus Christ was repentance toward God. Repent or perish. Cry unto the Lord. Call on the Lord. Save us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Forgive us our sins, O Lord. We've sinned against Thee. Done this evil in thy sight. Have mercy upon us. Well, Paul went on to say, they're Israelites, verses 4 and 5 in Romans 9. They're Israelites, and they have the covenants, the law, the service of God, the promises, and so on. And I look around me, and I see all the religious paraphernalia, and people have their buildings, they have their Bibles, they have their choirs and programs and prayer times, and this and that and the other, gospel singing. But Paul went on to say, it's not as though the Word of God has no effect. They're not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they're the seed of Abraham are they children, God's children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He went on to say in verse 8, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for seed. Now that's true of all who call themselves Christian. Not all Christians who say they're Christian. It's not children of the flesh, not those who made some kind of decision, because we're not born of blood. We're not into the kingdom of God by blood, or that is because we're born Baptist or Catholic, or not going to get there by virtue of our parents. It's not the will of the flesh, the will of man, but the children of promise. That is, those whom God has chosen, given to Christ, all the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. Now here's the story. God chose Abraham. Abraham was a 75-year-old idolater. He didn't know God. He didn't know the truth. He wasn't seeking the God of the Bible, but God chose him. And God called him. God revealed himself to Abraham. There was no act on Abraham's part, no act of his will, no choice of Abraham at all. It was all God's choice, God's call. God chose him when he was 75 years old. Well, before that, before the world began. But he called him out of idolatry and revealed himself to Abraham when he was 75 years old. He was born of God, born again. And God promised to Abraham a son. He promised a son to Abraham, out of whom would be his chosen people. And out of whom, that is the seed, there would be a remnant all over the world. Now, Abraham was old and his wife Sarah, 100 years old. It's impossible for a man that age to have children. But God promised it. God promised it. And Abraham and Sarah, they grew impatient. So they decided to have a child their way. And they chose a young woman named Hagar. And Abraham went in to her, and Abraham and Hagar had a child. His name was Ishmael. Now, all of this represents how that people try to get into the kingdom of God by their choice, their way, their flesh. But salvation's by promise. Salvation's an impossible thing with man, but with God, it's possible, but not only possible, but certain. It's God's work, God's will, God's choice, God's power, God's seed, God's spirit, not man's, not a cooperative effort between God and man, like Abraham and Sarah, but all of God. Like all people who decide for God, who decide for Jesus, who decide to believe, who accept Jesus, who let God be their God, let Jesus be their Lord. They're not saved. Anybody that says that's not saved. That's an act of the human will. That's not salvation. That's an act of man. That's man trying to help God out. Well, God told Abraham, he said, cast that boy out. Cast Ishmael out. That's not my son. That son didn't come from me. And no flesh is going to glory in God's presence. Salvation's his will, his choice, his work, his power. Christ, the promise was made not to Abraham. Now, Paul wrote about this in Galatians. He said, not to Abraham, but to Christ, who is the seed, the promised son, the promised Messiah, the promised Christ, in whom all the people of God are born and blessed, and of whom Isaac represents Isaac, the son of promise. Promise. God elected a people, chose a people in Christ, gave them to Christ before the world began. He's called the second Adam, covenant head, who would come to this earth to redeem his people from their sin, redeem them from the curse of the law, deliver them from death, all their lifetime subject to death by being made sin for them and dying under the curse of the law. And in dying, he would bring life and immortality to light through the gospel. Read on now. Here is the story of Isaac, which is the story of Christ. Now, he said in verse 9, Here's the word of promise. At this time, God says, that will I come, and Sarah, he's talking about Abraham and Sarah, Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah, that is the wife of Isaac, Sarah's son, Sarah had a son. Abraham and Sarah had a son named Isaac. And it was of God. It was impossible with them to have a son, but God made a promise, and God's power created a son, an impossible son, a son of promise in Rebekah from Abraham. This is a picture of Christ who is formed in all of his people by the Spirit of God, not a cooperative effort of man, but by the power and Spirit of God. The chosen son, that is Christ. The son of promise, that is Christ. Read on now. It says, Rebekah, not only this, but Rebekah, Isaac's bride, Isaac's wife, who was also a barren woman. And she had two sons. Verse 11 says, the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of God that calleth. God said to Rebekah, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. God chose one of those sons before he was born. Before either one of them had done any good or evil, God chose Jacob and said, I love Jacob, not Esau. Now, what is this saying? Is this talking about a national people, Israel? No. It just said that the children of the flesh, not the children of God, but the children of the promise. Not all Israel are saved, or it's your of Israel. No. This is talking about salvation. That God chose the people. If he hadn't, nobody would choose him. Nobody would believe him. Nobody would come to him. And gave them to Christ, the son of promise, whom he loved. And they were loved in Christ. What shall we say to this? Verse 14. Is there unrighteousness with God? What do you say to these things? Paul kept saying that over and over in this chapter and other chapter. What do you say to these things? Is there unrighteousness with God? That's not fair, some people say. Not fair? God forbid, Paul says. He went on to say in verse 15, he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, not the will of man, but God's will. Not of him that runneth, that is, worketh, but of God that showeth mercy. Salvation is by sovereign election, sovereign love, sovereign mercy. People say every man deserves a chance to be saved. No, he doesn't. No one deserves to be saved. The wages we have earned is death. The wages of sin is death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one deserves to be saved but God, rich in mercy, great love and grace, purposed to save some of these undeserving people and chose some of them. And he went on to say in verse 18, he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. He leaves them alone. He leaves them alone. Is that unfair? Is that unrighteous? No, it's great mercy and grace that God would save anybody. What do you say to these things? I hope and pray you will bow your knee and call upon the Lord to have mercy upon you. Amen.